Already been a very, very busy day. Where have you been? It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station, Dukes and Baylor's number one sports show. Coming up, Kirk Cousins is going to join us, guys. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate as we are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. I was just told that Cousins is addressing the media, Mike, the normal folks over there, literally behind us in the studios here, and he'll be over right after he gets done there, so we'll get a chance to catch up with him. Stay tuned. He's on the way. And this is what I was telling you guys. We were like, what time, Dukes? Stay right there, okay? We're going to get to it.
In just minutes.
In just minutes, okay?
I just love you guys. It's like, you know, we'd like to think you're listening to the show for the entertainment, our takes. You know, it's like, yeah, when's he coming? Now, look, you've got a job to do, I understand, that requires you to be able to, you're going to have 2 ears on the job, I understand
that. Use the rewind button.
Right, the Odyssey app. Again, guys, the Odyssey app. As for it by name.
So, yeah, he's going to join us. You missed Coach. We'll replay that for you a little bit later on. Coach Ra coming in here and talking about, you know, where our team is and the lesson learned. I thought the interesting thing, too, Mike, and you'll hear this coming up for those who missed it. He talked about the lesson learned against Seattle. And I said, Coach, I'm a little worried about coming in, you know, flat and all of that stuff.
Right.
He's like, no, we learned that lesson a couple of weeks ago. That's not going to happen with the Cowboys.
Right.
All right, man, let's shift gears.
That's my quarterback.
Here. We're talking about Kirk Cousins all day long. Kirk Cousins, first of all, man, congratulations, NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Second time.
You balled out in Tampa. It's Dukes and Bell, and we are happy to have you on. Let's start there. Can we play Tampa every week?
No, man. You know, honestly, coming out of the first game, there was a little bit of a, you know, is this repeatable or what was it, a fluke? I don't know. I just didn't know. And, you know, certainly we didn't throw barely threw for half the yards we threw for the time before. But it was good to be able to put together another strong performance. But, you know, as I just said earlier, and Coach Raheem has challenged us, is like, was that a game or is that your game? Mm. You know, and so the ability to, like, do it again and again and again is the challenge, and it's what allows you to be a great football team. So with it only being week 9, we just got so much out ahead to go get.
Seems like you and Zach Robinson on the same page. I mean, he'd never been an OC before, and you hadn't worked with him. Talk about the chemistry there and how everything really seems to be just rolling.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress in the sense that, like, week 1 after the Pittsburgh game, I wouldn't have told you that we had great chemistry. So, like, it's a little bit of a...
Neither did we!
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's a little bit of, like, every week just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that we're going to be better and better, you know, as we move forward.
Kirk, how many off seasons, man, you guys spent down here? I mean,
you've
embraced the ATL. I mean, our fan base is all about it, right?
Yeah.
Kirk Cochains and all the things, the swag surf.
Yeah, right.
Trap lyrics.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, oh, man, and it's funny because I don't know how much of this stuff you see. I know you're focused on what you're doing, but it's like, man, Kirk has embraced us. And it's like there's something cool about this. But you already had a vibe, didn't you? How much time did you spend down
here?
Yeah,
it was the winter of 2015 was our first off season where we committed to being down here the whole time, and then basically went, like, I think till, man, 2020, 2021, something like that. We were here basically that whole time.
In the off seasons?
In the off seasons, yeah. We were always here and just stayed in Johns Creek, Alpharetta area mostly. And so I got pretty familiar with the area. Didn't make it up to Flowery Branch much, but certainly, you know, kind of that 400 corridor I was doing life on all the time, and found a lot of good bodywork people in Metro Atlanta. And so got pretty familiar. I mean, I tell people I went to those playoff games after the 2016 season because we were living here and we weren't in the playoffs in Washington. So I thought, I'm going to go watch these games. You know, I want to go see them play Seattle and see them play Green Bay. And so I was there and had a lot of fun being able to be in the stands and kind of take in what an Atlanta, you know, rise up fan base looks like in the Georgia Dome. I got to kind of see it, you know, as a part of it, so that now as a player, I sort of have a feel of what it is to be up there and watching. And maybe that's kind of where the whole swag serve appreciation came from.
Kirk Cousins is with us, guys. That's our quarterback live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. We were talking before the show about, like, Netflix coming to you and, you know, I guess Omaha Productions, Peyton Peeble, and doing quarterbacks, which our first real exposure to you. I'm like, man, what a likable guy. I mean, it seems like man of the people, taking the kids to the Twins game and having just regular seats, all that stuff. But becoming a leader in a locker room, I mean, you don't just walk in and go, okay, guys, I'm the man.
Right.
You got to obviously earn it, but it just seems like it comes naturally to you.
Yeah, it's You know, it was interesting because I did it once going from Washington to Minnesota, and there were things I learned that I wanted to do again in that transition coming here, and then there were things I didn't want to do again. I want to learn from the good examples and the bad examples, and so that kind of led and drove my decision-making in March and April as to how I wanted to connect with these guys and how I wanted to get on the same page. And I wanted to be able to snap my fingers and have 6 years of experience together, but we don't have that. And so it was this challenge of how do we have enough conversations and watch enough film and do enough routes together on the field that we can make up for that lost time. And it was hard to get there, but I feel that now we've stacked 8 games. I feel like we're starting to build that, and that's fun.
Kirk Cousins, our guest, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Falcons, Cowboys on Sunday. We'll talk with Kirk about that in a second. I asked Coach about the message you provided the team with last week. And again, I know that's, you know, stuff with your teammates. But one of the things that I heard that came out of that is being resilient. And I want to know what that meant to you to provide that message to the team. And Coach said he told us you left him one of those messages, and he said I had to listen to it.
Yeah, the voice memo, yeah.
He said I had to listen to it again because he said it got cut off and I had to listen to it. But he said, you know, of course, as soon as I heard from my quarterback, yes, of course I want him to address the team. Kirk, talk about that, and what do you think it meant for this football team?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit apprehensive of asking to speak because the last thing you want is to force it or to kind of have it be dead air up there. So I was like, Coach, I'm kind of asking, but I'm also sort of saying, does this message resonate? Does it? If it's not worth it, don't put me up there. So, but he said, no, you're good. So we were able to share it, and I think it was about, you know, being resilient, getting back up. Tough times don't last; tough people do. That kind of a thing, and the job is still out there. You know, it was one game. We still got more to go get. So we as players, you do kind of celebrate a victory, but you also quickly kind of feel like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
And the turning of the page is so real for us as players.
Being down in Tampa, I was talking about earlier with Coach. I got some good seats. I was sitting behind the bench and saw you, you know, talking to the teammates, talking to the offensive line, talking to Hinton when Chris Lindstrom goes down. The communication, and you talked earlier about building chemistry. The throw that you dropped into Darnell Mooney for the touchdown.
What's up, Darnell?
I mean, that's like John Madden game type stuff. I mean, walk us through that and what you see. I mean, is that something? Because it takes a little bit of nuggets to drop that ball in there.
Well, I just think, first of all, great coaching because they talked about, you know, coverage-wise, the scheme that we might get, the coverage we might get, you know, to be ready to work Mooney. And sure enough, we got the look that was a possibility. And then Darnell has to run a great route. I mean, he has to corner, post, and create space from the corner, and then has to set an angle because even breaking out of it, I'm going, is he going to set the angle that I need him to get behind Winfield? And he did. And so then I was able to throw it decisively. And then he just, you know, runs underneath it and has set so much separation. So he's a great route runner. He's very twitchy. He showed it on a choice route early in the game, and I got hit on the throw and wasn't able to make it. But, I mean, if you go back and watch the tape, what he can do at separating on that choice route, it's pretty special. And as a point guard distributor, how I view myself, I just want to get the ball in these guys' hands because they do such a good job getting open and running great routes.
Kirk Cousins, who's your buddy in the league, man? Who's your quarterback buddy, if you have one?
Quarterback buddy?
That you call and you text, because we all just assume, and I'm talking about generally speaking, fans, like, oh, they know each other. They dapped each other up after the game.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
Is there somebody you're like, man, I wish I would have saw that. Did you see that?
Usually it's the guys that you played with or alongside who then go on to another team. So like a Taylor Heinicke, you know, may reach out and say, hey, I saw you guys played this team. Do you have any thoughts? Or a Jake Browning in Cincinnati who I was with in Minnesota. So it's guys who are in the room together that tends to be those conversations because we can kind of speak the same language. That, hey, remember when we did this in 2019 and we could do that again this week? So you build those relationships. And what's fun this year is just kind of like a Nathan Peterman who's been around the league and I had only known him from a distance to now have him in the quarterback room. You can kind of talk about some shared experiences. Remember that game we played you guys that year and different things. And so it's fun to kind of have those shared stories.
Kirk Cousins is with us, guys. As we said, 2-time NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Now with your first place Falcons. When you took off on that third down, I mean, everybody, Falcon fans, our hearts were in our throats. And then we'll get to the quarterback sneak in a second. But so now you're the dual threat weapon, Kirk Cousins.
I got fooled a little bit on the coverage and the read. And so then that's led me to try to use my legs. But what's funny is Ray McLeod is open. If you watch the tape, I'm running and he's running right into my field of vision. If I just if I just drop it to him, we got a way better play. So I know it's fun that I ran. I know it's fun that we got the sneak and we got the conversion and whatnot. But I was reminded again, there's a reason you're a pocket passer, because when you're a pocket passer, there's a guy wide open right over the ball that could get you a much bigger gain. So it goes back to just being a distributor and a point guard. But there's no doubt with the way pockets and pass rushes are these days, you do need to have that moment or two there where you seize part, you take off. And I have missed more than my fair share of opportunities this year to do that, and I was just glad finally I took off and ran once.
Yeah. Did you hear all of us going, no, Kurt, don't do it, don't
well, I screwed
do
up,
it.
I screwed up a play earlier in the game when I should have just handed it off, and I went to throw a possible run alert, and right. and I was screwed up, and so I, to fix it, I just had to take off and run, and I could hear Raheem's voice in my head saying, no, get down. And so I thought, after running for a second, I thought, who am I kidding? And I just got down. And let's just live to play the next play. I screwed. You just kind of get up and you look at the sideline like, I completely screwed that play up.
Right.
Hopefully I can redeem it on the next one.
And not to put your business out there, but it just seemed like the confidence, like an Achilles injury is a serious injury, but you just feeling you can do everything you need to do now?
Yeah, I think it's something, like you said, that they told me when I injured it, you know, you're cleared after 9 months. They said you'll probably be back to yourself at 12 months, but you can play at 9. Mm-hmm. And so I was always kind of viewing August 1st as great. I can get back on the field August 1st. Thankfully, the way we were able to do it, I still got some practice reps in the spring when I was at 6, 7, 8 months. But 12 months, which was last week, is really when you feel like you know, you're turning another corner.
Right now, Kirk, 68% completion rate, 2106 passing yards, 14 touchdowns. And we've been talking about this, and I know you're looking week to week. But like, Mike and I compare this, and we say, if you had a baseball card, right, from the time you became a full-time starter, I think 15, because you started, I think, 6 games a year before that, this is kind of who you've been. You've been 35, 40 touchdowns, 4,000-yard guy. Why? How have you been consistent considering the coaching changes, the players around you, things that have gone on? You come here, new environment. Looks like we're going to be in a good spot when it's all said and done at the end of the year. We're going to be right where we think Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah, I think what I've been fortunate is as the coaches have changed and as the players around me have changed, I've still had great coaches and great players around me. So I'll be the first one to say if you surround me with coaches who aren't that great and players who aren't that great, you're not going to see much production. So I've always tried to be strategic when I left Washington. It's, I'm not leaving Washington unless I'm going to a place that has great coaches and great players. And the same thought here. I'm not leaving Minnesota unless I'm going to a place that I think has great coaches and great players. Right. So very fortunate to have been surrounded by good people. And I think that's none truer than this year in terms of when I drop back, the people protecting me, the people running routes for me, the people I'm handing off to, and then the coaches on the sideline who are creating the plan and coaching me. I just feel like I'm being given a chance to be successful.
Kirk, how emotional is it going to be for you when you return to Minnesota?
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. I think it's still so, it feels like so far away with how these games in the NFL are like dog years. You know, you got a long ways to go. But
right.
Certainly it'll be something that means a lot to me. There's so many people in that building who mean a lot to me. And, you know, but again, that feels so far away right now.
Right. How or what should we know about these Cowboys, man? I mean, we were talking with Coach Rob about this. Mm-hmm. I said, Coach, they're going to be desperate, right? They've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, well said.
So, you've been in these situations, but what do you see? And maybe concerns as we get ready for Sunday's matchup.
You said it. I think they're going to come out with everything they have, and that's always a dangerous football team. I just think they have too many people on their football team that have played in really big games and really big moments and delivered in those moments, and I think that's also something you got to be aware of. And you know, I know there's going to be some Cowboy fans in the crowd too, you know, so there's that factor. And you know, I just think they play with great team speed. They're fast, and you feel that all game long, and that's kind of what I expect on Sunday.
Our first time we met you at camp, just wrapping up, we were asking us about the NHL, possibility of coming to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, looks like 2028, we'll have a crack at it. Would you like to be a minority owner?
I would love it. I just we can have a whole conversation maybe in the off season about Atlanta sports and where this hockey thing is headed. I'm interested to see how it all plays out. I don't know what the latest is, but man, I really hope we can get a team, and you know, the Flames and the Thrashers, right, and that whole deal. I think there's potential here, and I think the fans, the people here, would really eat it up.
How much different is it for the boys to be cheering for you in this uniform than what they were accustomed to?
You know, they were just young enough that it didn't, you know, they didn't ingrain themselves too much because they were young enough where they can transition. I think though, this team it's going to be harder if hopefully it never comes to it.
Right.
But if we ever had to move on, that's where you're like, okay, the boys really learned that, you know, Dad's an Atlanta Falcon. And so hopefully I can play my best football and they can remember me as Atlanta Falcon for good. But it's so fun. It was a dream of mine when I was younger and first got married. And I told my wife, you know, I want to play long enough that I can have kids who remember Dad playing. Mike Singletary was a youth football coach of mine.
Oh, wow.
And Mike retired really before his son Matt was old enough to really be a part of it. And even though his dad was a Hall of Famer, it wasn't like he could say, oh, I remember my dad in the locker room, remember my dad making that stop on fourth down. And so I always remember that and thought, you know, I would like to play long enough that my boys can remember it. We're getting close. My older son's 7. He came to the Tampa game. I think he's at that place. My younger son's 5. He has no clue. So I got to last a little longer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's special, man. And you're playing special. We're enjoying
it. So much fun for the fans.
We are, man. Yeah. Continued success. Let's go get one on Sunday, and thanks for stopping by.
That's right. 1-0 this week.
That's it. Right. Kirk Cousins, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Dukes and Bell. Our quarterback. We're talking about my quarterback. We're going to talk about what he had to say, what Coach Ra had to say, and continue to break down this matchup here. We're going to take a quick timeout, though, and come back with much more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about my quarterback. Kirk Cousins stopping by on a Wednesday. I will tell you this. He may be licking his chops. He's not going to say it publicly, but he may be licking his chops heading into this Cowboy game because their defense has been a sieve. Now, you look at what they've done over the last few weeks. Teams have been able to score on them, and quarterbacks have had pretty good days against them, Mike. And, you know, a guy like Brock Purdy, who I think just me talk, I think our guy's better, okay?
Right.
And going into this game with things flowing the way they are, and he said he's a point guard, I'm a distributor. I was about to call him Steph Curry because he's, you know, cooking it up. I think, Mike, he could have another big day. But all of this is going to be predicated on, again, I still think running the football. We broke the Bucks off for $1.20. Let's run the ball against the Cowboys and make them defend that. And I think Kirk could have another 3 or 4 touchdown kind of day.
Right.
I do.
And it just gets us back to everything we thought we were going to see, and now we're seeing it. We talked about it with Kirk. You know, the play action, the play calling, him and Zach Robinson on the same page, the offensive line. You know, in years past, if we lose a piece, we're kind of much dead in the water now. Yeah. We can plug in a guy. And I know it was a little bit rough for hitting against Seattle, but certainly made up for it this week. So I'm with you, man. And, you know, Dallas, you talked about it. There's a lot of pressure on them. I know it's still that brand of the Cowboys and the star and all that mystique. And, yeah, they'll print about 10,000 Cowboy fans because tis what it is, although we joked around. You're no longer a front runner if you're a Cowboy fan because the Falcons have played in 2 Super Bowls since the last time Dallas played in one. But, yeah, they'll have a crowd. But Dak, and, you know, if we can get up on him, I mean, the business model, Carl, of just same like – it really is kind of like 2016 where we're creating, you know, sort of a mismatch where teams become one-dimensional, and that's when Dak starts throwing it to you. You know, like Baker started throwing it to us.
Absolutely. So if you missed that interview with our quarterback, we'll replay it for you at the 6 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. Also, Coach Ra is going to come, and or should I say you'll hear him in the 5 o'clock hour. But, man, I enjoyed our conversation with him. And here's the thing. I got to mention this before we move on, Mike, and that is the comments from guys, and I think here's the thing. Winning matters, but I also think he has won over a lot of people.
Right.
Who were like, this is not going to work, this isn't the guy, this, because he's very comfortable with who he is, and he has that is no fronting with Kirk Cousins.
No.
And I think he's won a lot of people over because he's playing well, that helps, but also because you just get a sense of, you know what, this is a likable man, a likable guy, and I'm going to get behind this one way or the other. I don't know where this goes, Mike. We don't know where this goes, but that part of it, I think we feel that now.
Right. I mean, most fans out there don't care if your quarterback has a personality, but it is kind of cool when you hear this guy, just to, you know, kind of echo your sentiments. The reality. He's real, you know, and he's outgoing. It's not a knock on any other quarterback who's been here in Atlanta. Everybody has their own style. But this guy, you know, he puts it out there, and he's comfortable, to your point, doing it, and the players respond to this guy. You know, there's certain quarterbacks out there. You know, some guys as well-known, like Mahomes or, you know, Montana, or, you know, even a guy like recently, just what Jameis just did with the Browns. But there's guys that people gravitate to, and he's got it. Now, he's acutely aware of the resume, but, you know, that's why we say, much like Matt Ryan, much like Matthew Stafford. And I think, to your point, so many people now are pulling for this guy and for this team. That's why so many guys are saying, man, let's go stack the deck and go get somebody out there that can get the quarterback on the ground.
404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you. You can always find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We're going to talk about Kirby and Billy Napier in our road to the college football playoff in the 5 o'clock hour, because that ran a little long. And again, this is why we told you guys, just stick around. Well, he was going to stop by.
Right.
He was coming. We didn't want to give you an exact time and then not show up, but we're glad that you were there for the interview for those who heard it live. And again, we'll replay that for you coming up a little bit later on.
Yeah, man. A bunch of guys on the text line saying, every time I hear Kirk speak, I just love this guy more and more.
Yeah.
And again, another guy said, I was doubtful after the trade, but not trade, it was a free agent signing. But, you know, yeah, but I understand that some folks looked at the resume and the Achilles thing. I mean, I know that Aaron Rodgers got a few more years on him than this guy, but I mean, right now, Kirk Cousins and this team, as we sort of gave you all the playoff scenarios and teams that we're comparable with earlier, you certainly give us a puncher's chance. Nothing going on anyway with anybody signing or trading for a defensive end slash outside linebacker today. Only thing we had out there was the Browns were sitting Zadarius Smith at practice for an illness. Today, by the way, for our practice, to me, Carl, when I look at the injury report, it's more about older guys getting some rest.
It is.
Judon, rest. Justin Simmons, still got that hamstring. That's a lingering injury. That may take a while. Troy Anderson with the knee. Caden Ellis with the knee. He was in a little bit of pain on Sunday. Saw that on the sideline.
He came back in, though.
Yes. Drew Dahlman with an ankle. And James Smith-Williams, who's kind of been like a guy that's not really heralded, but it's kind of been a glue guy and good against the run. He got rest today, too.
I was talking about the Cowboys, and we got some guy talk coming up, guys, and we'll have some fun there. And obviously, we'll talk more about the World Series, which has actually turned into maybe a series after last night, the debacle with Mookie Betts and more here on the show. Mike, the Cowboys, and this is why I said they've been a sieve. The Cowboys are giving up 28 points a game, 28.3. The only team giving up more, take a guess, the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
This is what I'm talking about with Kirk Cousins and this offense. And if we jump out on them, guess what? Dak has one guy he can throw the ball to,
right,
that he can really count on. You get up 14 or so on these guys, 15, 17, whatever it might be, Mike, it might be a long day for them Cowboys on Sunday. So I feel like we can have and take advantage of some of the things that they're lacking right now. But that's not Dan Quinn's defense. This is what you were talking about.
Right. This is the Mike Zimmer defense. Right.
That's not.
You know, and if he does play, Micah Parsons is probably still not 100%, but yeah. I know again, he can be that guy. But we were saying, you know, we had trouble with T.J. Watt earlier this year because he's a force, and Micah Parsons, his game isn't there right now. When he's on his game, he can go sideline to sideline and do everything like a poor man's LT, but not sure we're going to see that necessarily. So certainly, guys, let's not backslide. And you talked about it with Coach. You'll hear the comments, as you mentioned, the five. I don't think this team is flat. I think they got a bit of a trampoline effect, a bounce from what we did in Tampa.
Mike Bell, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, you know, the players side of the field is with the players. But, you know, when you come into our territory, that's where we can interfere with the ball and do stuff. Did the Yankees ban the two jabronis that Carl mentioned interfere with the Mookie Betts? We'll get into that. And more information for what the hell happened in Midtown yesterday at the Four Seasons. Stay tuned. Live from the Ticketmaster Studios here at the Branch, it is Dukes and Bell. And if you missed it, man, we had a great conversation with Coach Rod. That's going to come back at 5:20. And then Kirk Cousins, you like that. We certainly did. 6 o'clock, we had kind of an extended interview with Kirk because he's just an easy guy to talk to, which is really awesome. You know, I got to tell you know, after years and years of, you know, of just, you know, watching football that makes you just go, argh! You know, you're driving you crazy. This is one where, you know, it's fun. It's just fun to watch, especially on offense. A couple guys angry with you, Carl. It's just a two-game losing streak for the Dallas Cowboys, Detroit and San Francisco. And so we just want to clarify that because, again, bring your butts down to Mercedes-Benz and get ready for your third loss in a row, you knuckleheads.
Okay.
Just want to get it right. Want to be accurate.
No, that's fine.
That's it. Just want to say. Hey, man.
Losers.
I know.
Losers.
Maybe wear your Yankee hat with your Cowboy jersey when you roll in on
Sunday. Or your Alabama
Sunday
outfit.
Exactly.
Okay?
You jerk. Speaking of jerks, Major League Baseball, and I was the surprise it took them this long to say to the Yankees, these knuckleheads can't come back to the stadium. Matter of fact, let's call the cops and charge these knuckleheads with assault. Everybody talking about Austin Capobianco, the other guy, John Pita, he wearing the pinstripes. Capobianco looks like the typical, I mean, right out of Central Casting. You want a jabroni Yankees fan? That's the guy. And literally, the stuff they were saying afterwards was so funny as they were getting escorted out and up the aisle. Literally, they felt that somehow anything in foul territory is okay. If you want to be, you know, Bartman, that's one thing. You can't touch the player grabbing the ball, trying to, you know, literally the ball comes out with backwards spin from Mookie Betts' glove. They're just lucky, seriously, that Mookie Betts was so cool and just wanted to put it behind him.
I agree.
They're grabbing him by the wrist while this guy's hanging up. Hey, to leap up into the stands in foul territory.
I'm more surprised, again, that we don't have these conversations. Like, when you buy these tickets, and maybe they are, Mike, I, right. I, you know, again, But there should be like some kind of voice message that says, by the way, you're not allowed to touch the players at all in the field of play. People take this stuff for granted. And look, that could have gotten ugly last night. I'm glad it didn't. It ultimately didn't affect the game. The umpires made the right call.
Right.
And the Yankees win the game, right? At the end of the day, Yankees were better last night. But this was a mess. And these guys, I feel like these guys should not be let back in the stadium, period.
No, as I said, I would have seriously, if I was the Dodgers, I would have said, throw the book at these guys. Because you put your hands on another person. That's assault, guys. I'm not being ticky-tack. These are the kind of idiots. We live in a world now where nobody, whether it's behind the court at a basketball game, you got a lot of wackadoodles out there, and there's no boundaries. And we're seeing that in society.
I agree.
You and I talked about it earlier. You know, it's one thing. You're a grown man, okay? You're wrestling. You're trying to basically grab a baseball player's wrist. You're not Jeffrey Mayer. That was a little kid who grabbed the Jeter home run that they ruled a home run. Remember, Tarasco had the glove right underneath him in 96 in the Orioles playoff round.
That's a big game.
It was kind of a springboard for the Yankees that year to win the first World Series in forever. But these knuckleheads. And the funny part is, there's a connection from one of these idiots to Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski goes on Kay Adams' podcast and says, was watching the game, and he's like, holy cow, I know that guy.
Ooh.
Yeah, Austin Capobianco went to the University of Arizona when Gronk was there and played on their club hockey team. And basically Gronk's saying, yeah, it's kind of what I expected for him. Here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts, he was a friend of mine in college. And he said that basically that's what you kind of expect. He says, him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is in for all his teams. He's in for the Yankees. And I think a little misplaced by Gronk. He says, I just want to say congratulations for shining when your moment came. So basically you've been a jackleg your entire life, and you just didn't disappoint in that game.
Yeah, look, these guys, were they sauced up, by the way? Do we know?
I think it's a combination of stupidity and booze.
Okay.
A lethal combination.
Right.
Almost lethal.
Because, everybody wants to say, well, they were drinking before the game. It's still, I mean, you know better, man. You might as well streak on the field if you're going to do that.
Right. But, I mean, that's it. And what's the commonality? You and I, just real quick, not to get on the soapbox, it just is what it is. When you got kids around, you don't need guys MFing each other and throwing. How many fights have we seen this year in the NFL and college?
Yeah, it's been quite a few.
It's going to be quite of an epidemic. But anyway, yeah, go figure. Gronk knew the guy. Hey, man, traffic is bad enough in Metro Atlanta. We don't need some wackadoodle who's got a luxury, by the way, resident there at the Four Seasons.
Mike, come on, say it. He's rich.
Well, he's a rich wackadoodle. I mean, bat blank crazy. I mean,
you're living on the 33rd floor of the Four Seasons. Say it. You can say it. He's rich.
But here's the scary part. Talking to a buddy of mine who remained nameless in the APD, he got off about 119 rounds from a high perched balcony and shooting in the building.
Nobody got hurt.
Thank God. Okay. I said the C word. Him too. But yeah, man, unbelievable. Apparently, I found out that, and again, this will probably come out in the papers, that building, the Four Seasons has those luxury apartments, that they've been having issues with this guy for like months.
Yeah.
So this thing kind of came to a head. There's about almost a year and a half of potential problems that this guy's had with the building.
Okay. So he's rich and he's crazy.
Correct.
Okay.
Hey, you know, and by the way, hats off to the APD. I mean, we talk about
no doubt. How
many times in America in the last, 10 years have we had the cops a dollar a day late and a dollar short. APD got on it, and they got this guy out of there, and he survived. And the cop's going to be okay, by the way.
Yeah, that's good news.
SWAT member. Remember.
Yesterday, I'll tell you guys behind the curtain, Mike and I were getting worried about this because it's in our area, down the street from where our offices are. And so this has happened before, unfortunately, where there has been an active shooter in the area. And, everybody locks down and does what we need to do. But we didn't say anything. We kept looking at each other. And then literally within the hour, it was, hey, in custody. And Mike and I kind of looked at each other and was like, great job, APD. So we want to give him some props.
Hey, man, we all had our fun talking about the Dwayne Wade statue outside the arena down in Miami. Dwayne Wade has taken the high road and said, look, these guys, these sculptors, they can't do what we do. We can't do what they do. Just like when I played basketball, I took criticism, and people can't do what I do.
He's right.
But when you're getting paid probably a gazillion dollars to make the statue, you're supposed to get the face right. Here's Charles Barkley speaking for all of us last night on the NBA on TNT.
But obviously a great honor for D-Wade.
It's a great honor, but they got to take that thing down.
No. Animated.
No, not animated.
If you made an animated face and then they made a bronze statue.
If you made an ugly statue, that's what it would look like. That thing's awful.
It's not awful. Look, he's making an animated face.
Yeah.
It's a moment.
That was after he saw the statue right there.
Exactly.
Dwayne made an animated face after he saw it.
So true. I would love to have a statue
right.
Because it means you've accomplished amazing things. but I'd like to also have that statue.
Be somewhat accurate, right?
Look like me.
Now, like, for argument's sake, if we last 20 more years and somebody decides, not that Odyssey would put it up, but they did like a bronze of you and me somewhere, you're going to look a little bit like Coach Tomlin and you, right, if they get it right.
I want to look like me. Forget that. I want to look like me. Here's the deal. I'm with Charles on this. Everybody knows it. The memes are endless.
Right.
They're endless. The one I retweeted where, you know, it's Han Solo. I mean, you know,
in the carbonite, right.
It's unbelievable. But I feel for D-Wade because, to his point, like, what is he supposed to say? I don't like it. Y'all got to redo this.
Well, yeah, but off the record, behind the scenes, he's going, please, can you fix the face?
Yeah, but then when they take it down, they're going to be like, what happened to the D-Wade statue?
I mean, everybody in the world, look, as I said, I mean, I guess maybe the guy who does the faces on these sculptures or the guy who does the back and the legs or whatever, or the jersey. Okay, get a better guy to do the face, man. It's funny, years ago, we're in Vegas. This is like 15 years ago, and we had a cabana, and we met some girls from Philly, and she's on the phone talking to her friends, like, yeah, we met some guys from Atlanta. We're down here. Come on down. And she goes, well, what's the guy? He's cute. He's like a fat Chandler. I'm like, I'm right here.
Yes.
So I guess if I had a sculpture, I'd be a fat Chandler. Rest his soul. I mean, but at least be in the ballpark. You know, this looks like Morpheus meets Mr. Clean.
Yeah,
it bears no resemblance to Dwayne Wade whatsoever.
There are people who do, you know, look alike. I will tell you this, and I'm trying to think of the one that I saw. Mike, who was the Raven safety?
Oh, it was Ed Reed.
Ed Reed's sculpture is amazing. Have you guys seen his Hall of Fame bust? I mean, every detail,
the hair, the whole shebang.
The resemblance, everything they got right. And it's almost as if, wow, how was he able to pull that off? Because even those Hall of Fame busts sometimes don't necessarily look like the guys that they're representing. So, yeah, Ed Reed, if you've not seen Ed Reed's Hall of Fame bust, go take a look at it. It's perfect.
I mean, I'm not saying Mickey Arison is cheap, the Heat owner, but I don't know if he had a Groupon on that sculpture. Anyway, there's your guide talk brought to you.
He owns Carnival. Stop. Yes. Like, this dude, he should have gone all out. I'm hiring the best sculptures in the world to do this.
Based on some of the food I've had at Carnival, I'm not surprised. Anyway, there you go. Brought to you by our buddies at Dukes and Bell.
Hope they're not sponsored.
Hey, man, hail. In which case, you can just dump that horn. Hey, it's brought to you by our brew. Go grab it at any of your favorite package stores.
All right, guys. Coach Ross stopped by. We're going to talk about what we learned, and then you're going to hear him talk to you about our football team, who's going for another victory on Sunday against the Cowboys. We'll also talk about the road to the college football playoff. What a turnaround it's been. Nobody's talking about it. And we have to. And we will in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay there. We're live at Flowery Branch.